And as Tanya said, my name is Cynthia Escamilla, and we're here at Network Scale and Agile, where Amy and her colleagues are going to talk about her latest book, have it here. I really can accompany be all three. And Amy is, of course, one of the co-founders of Kates Kessler, along with Greg Kessler. And she, along with Michelle DiMartino, have authored this book, and it's really wonderful. I encourage you to get that if you haven't already. And so they're going to chat about some of the concepts of the book, and Amy has brought a couple colleagues from Accenture to help her describe that. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce Amy and take it away.
Thank you, Cynthia. Pleasure to be here, and hello to everyone. I love this idea of a community conversation, and as I'm looking at the participants, so many familiar names and so many people I like making a list to catch up with after. So we kind of build this to talk about the book, but this is really not a training seminar or workshop. I really do want to make it a community conversation, and in fact, what we're going to start with is actually bringing everyone up to date on what we've been up to at Kates Kessler as we've joined Accenture. I want to share a little bit about our experience over the last year. So I'm going to do a little sharing around that. And I'm joined by two of my colleagues today, my new colleagues from Accenture, Brent Hertz and Luis Albero. Who are going to share a little bit about their experience of being fellows in Kates Kessler and the kind of work that we do. So let me give you a little background for those who are less familiar with us. And I'll just, again, it will be very slide light, just have a few slides just to set some frame. Bring it up there. Yeah. So what we're going to do, I'm going to talk about our strategy, our process. Luis and Brent will share about experience of being a fellow, a little bit about some of the current work we're doing, maybe spend 20 minutes on that, and then open it up for conversation. And of course, willing to talk about the book. And of course, Brent and Luis will talk about their work in the how they are applying the concepts with our clients now. So a little bit of background about Kates Kessler. We were founded in 2010. Many of you know, I had a long history with Diane Downey, Jake Albreath. Greg Kessler and I started the current firm back in 2010. We began working with Accenture as a client in 2019. Summer of 2019, Julie Sweet took over as the new CEO. It was clear that a new operating model was needed for Accenture. Accenture had, over the past 10 years, built real strong depth of capability around a whole suite of assets, everything from business strategy down to outsource operations and everything in between, and was ready now to move to a model that would allow all of these different consulting assets to come together in a market unit for delivery. And so the idea, classic organization design challenge, is how do we make a shift from more global industries into really a market unit? So the shift was turning it upside down and really now the center of gravity, 20 market units around the world and really able to deliver integrated solutions. Well, so Julie had the idea. She made the commitment to the board to launch March 2020. And it was like, all right, I know where we are. I know where we want to go. How do we get there? And that's, of course, when we all as org designers get called in. So worked with the leadership team of Accenture for about 5 months. And then she made very clear. She said, the work that you're doing, I get org design now. What you are doing for us, we need for every single one of our clients around the world. We're going to acquire you. So June 2020, 10 of us from Kates Kessler joined, and we have been growing rapidly. So we're currently a team of 30. We're looking to be about 75 in the next 2 years. That sounds really big, but remember, Accenture is an organization of 500,000 people plus. The idea, and we'll talk about how we're working and building capability. So right now we're engaged in over 15 major operating model org design projects simultaneously with our team. And the whole idea is to build a depth of capability. And that's That's what's really fun, is to do org design from the inside, to build an organization, to apply the tools that we have used with our clients to ourselves now as we grow, and to think particularly around how do we be networked, scaled, and agile and a global organization. So, you know, what do companies come to us? We do a lot of big, you know, new business model, shift in strategy, whole enterprise kind of design, lots of customer-centric innovation, new incubators and legacy companies, shifting from product to customer. Everybody's on the digital journey, cloud. What does that look like? New disruptive capabilities, M&A, divestitures. And I think what a lot of us do, how do we reduce complexity? How do we make the matrix work? How do we scale for growth? How do we reduce cost? So all the work that we did before, many of our former clients still coming to us, new clients that we are going to market with our Accenture colleagues. And I'm sure as many of you feel there, you know, with what's happened in the world the last 18 months, lots of change going on and lots of acceleration around that. So what are we focused on? We're focused on three big things. One is transferring knowledge and scaling the practice. And we have a hypothesis that if you take really good sort of mid-career consultants, people who have 5 to 15 years of experience, who understand the consulting methodology, have a deep passion around organization, great at pattern recognition, systems thinkers, if we give those folks the right set of experiences, we can accelerate their development. And so what used to take, when we brought someone into Kate's Kessler before, maybe 5 years to really kind of learn the methodology, we can do that in a year, 18 months. And we all know that, you know, org design is a practice sport. You need to get a lot of projects under your belt to really feel confident and to be doing it well. But to get to a level of competence, we are finding, and this is what we're testing, can we do that more rapidly? So we are transferring knowledge, scaling the practice, at the same time, obviously doing that through working with clients. Most of our work is enterprise, C-suite, leader of a function or business unit. We focus on the large, complex, global clients, as well as the high growth sort of future industry leaders. All through that. And we're going to continue to do what's always been a value to us, which is to write, to share, to contribute to the field and discipline, to teach internal workshops through Cornell, public webinars and such, and engage with the professional associations. So as Tanya mentioned, Accenture is now a sponsor of ODF, also EODF, ODC, CRF. I've always been involved with the professional associations on various boards. And honestly, I always wondered, how come nobody or very few people from the big firms ever showed up to our conferences or our webinars? Where were the Accentures and Deloittes and McKinsey's and such? And, you know, what I found out is there are a lot of great org designers in these big firms. I mean, we came in, obviously, there are many people in Accenture who are already doing operating model and org design work. There was just not a common methodology. There wasn't really a strong community around this, but plenty of folks. What I have learned now being in such a large company is there's plenty of community in the company. And so you have to make a special effort to really connect externally, which I think happens more organically for more independent consultants, boutiques, and those who are working inside company industry. So we are very committed. One of the things that's particularly important to me is to make that connection between Accenture and the broader org design community. And that's partly what we want to share with you as well today. So what I'm going to ask you to do is use the chat. We'll have lots of time for questions and for discussion. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over in a moment. I'm going to ask Brent to talk a little bit about his fellowship experience, then Luis, and then they'll share a couple of examples of work that they're doing. But let me just tell you what the fellowship is. What we're doing is we're bringing in cohorts of 10 to 12 sort of mid-career consultants mostly internal Accenture, but we are doing hiring from the outside. It's a 9-month intensive apprenticeship. We're launching a cohort every 6 months. The idea, again, to grow to a sort of core team of 75, and we'll start then rotating talent in back into Accenture. Workshops, study groups, book clubs, case presentations, coaching, all while working in teams on projects. At the same time, we're running workshops for colleagues who are kind of in the next ring, don't want to commit to a fellowship. Org design is just part of the toolkit. We're sort of 120 participants a year to really build more common tools and methods, create communities of practice, robust knowledge management, so that at Accenture, we start to really bring together hundreds of people who are using the same language, the same frameworks, the same tools, and we can work seamlessly across the company. Started with a focus on North America. We now have a team in Europe, and in 2022, we will be launching in Australia, Singapore, to really cover growth markets in Southeast Asia. All right. Let me just pause there before we get into some examples. Any questions or any comments or reactions before we move forward?
Hi, Amy, this is Margaret. Just a quick question. I might have missed this, but in terms of the fellowship and the community, are those Accenture employees or are they outside of Accenture?
Yeah, well, all in Accenture, right?
Okay,
it's all starting to build again. Again, the size of Accenture is massive. So talent and organization, which is the group that we sit in, which, you know, think about change management, leadership and culture, organization, is over 4,000 people. So we've got lots of folks that we want to touch and start to, you know, everything from just an understanding, common definition, what's an operating model? What's STAR model? To then having some tools and having some confidence to really then being deep experts as part of a dedicated practice that we have.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So Brent, let me turn it over to you.
Amy, I've got a question as far as what's the idea about, any ideas about moving the practice to Latin America?
Yes, we have one fellow who is based in Brazil, and we're looking to bring in a few more. Accenture has quite a good practice in Latin America.
And, great.
So perfect. We will be global.
Wonderful.
Okay. Brent, over to you.
Thanks, Amy, and hello, everyone. I guess just a quick background on myself. As Amy mentioned, I'm one of those individuals who have been with Accenture for quite a long time, almost 8 years at this point for myself. Core consultant. My background at Accenture has been largely focused on the HR space. So I had been doing some operating model work, some org design work around HR. But also focusing on HR process design, HR transformation, HR systems implementation. So in seeing Kate Kessler come into the firm and getting the opportunity to participate as a fellow, I was part of the first cohort. What the opportunity was all about for me was the opportunity to build a muscle in org design and operating model work, to have the opportunity to not only develop that common methodology across all of Accenture, but to flex that muscle every single day in the work that we're doing within Kate Kessler. So as I thought about, what the opportunity was for me, HR has always been interesting, but how could I expand that and really focus on operating model and org design work, of which I had a passion around? So in having the opportunity to go through the experience and learn from Amy and Greg and Michelle and the rest of the Kate Kessler team, that has been not only the most monumental part of the experience for me, but why I continue to be excited about it every single day. And in building that capability in org design and in building, the passion around learning of which the organization shares, it's really been the opportunity for me to, to take a step within my career. As Amy mentioned, core consulting skills and taking mid-career professionals who have done, systems thinking and the ability to do that. And that's been my opportunity to bring the skills that I already have and apply it to our clients as we progress, but in doing org design and operating model every single day. So for me, the fellowship experience has been all about that learning journey and building the muscle and the experience to be able to go and have those conversations with clients, but also bringing the experience that I have to the Cates Kessler team. I think, you know, that has been one of our learnings together along this journey, is that, you know, to get to this common way of talking about org design and operating model work, there's a lot of, you know, learning that we've helped, I think, Amy with, and there's lots of learning that, you know, Amy and team have helped us with. So that has really been, you know, my experience with the fellowship is getting to practice this muscle every single day and instilling a service of learning as we go and as we work with clients with different challenges. And I'm very excited about it moving forward into the future.
Thanks, Brent. Luis.
Hi, everyone. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm Luis Alberol. I've been with Accenture for about 3 years, but have a long consulting experience before that, mostly in strategy first as another big consulting firm, and then in talent and leadership development. Before I came into Accenture and mostly led large transformation projects, or at least the organizational and talent part of large technology implementation projects. I definitely knew Cates Kessler before they were acquired. As an independent consultant, I had been looking up to them and some of the, you know, the frameworks that they use, and the very thorough approach that they have to org design. It was very useful being an independent to actually have that. I was so excited when I saw that they were being acquired, and I remember reaching out really, really very early to say, "Hey guys, you know, I'm here. Just don't forget about me." There were actually two reasons that pushed me to really apply to the fellowship. The first one is that in 3 years, I've seen that most of the transformation projects that we lead, we obviously find huge problems, and most of them are design problems. You know, at the end of the day, where we find issues and blockers in big transformation programs, it always is around not having defined clearly enough the operating model or the organization around whatever technology or change we want to implement. So that was a very important reason. The second one is, I think this is such an exciting project and adventure for Accenture investing hugely in actually building a global node for org design. It really means how much importance a company like Accenture places in, you know, having the design right before doing the rest. And I cannot underline how important this is before, because of all the complexity that we see in all the great assets and capabilities that we have at Accenture, when we try to put them together, I guess we're seeing how difficult it is to put them really together if you haven't thought about it well enough before. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity to be in this team. Being in the fellowship has been, it has been so fun, learning from Greg Kessler, for 6 or 7 months. It's it's something you really want to do in your life. I've been actually coached by Amy into writing, so I'm still hoping to be able to learn to write someday. But you know, this is something you get to do very, very rarely. And then another point which I really love about this, we're activating actually this new node, new operating model node at Accenture. And so my role in markets is basically trying to understand how best we can actually integrate with some of the really great capabilities that we have, because that's also the thing about Accenture. Wherever you look, you find capability, whether it's strategy, whether it's technology implementation, talent development, you know, HR transformation. We have these big capabilities, and one of the challenges is how do we best integrate them to actually deliver very specific solutions and global solutions to our clients. So this is an amazing challenge and a great opportunity for me. So I'm really excited to be here.
Luis, why don't we just stay with you for a moment, and we'll just take another 6-7 minutes. We'll share a couple of projects and how they're applying with the concepts, and then let's open up to broader questions about this or really anything. So Luis, why don't you share, you know, one of the projects that's sort of just starting up now and what that looks like.
Yeah, so I'm currently engaged in the very beginning of a large project. It's for a tobacco company that's trying to move into actually a totally different industry. They're basically trying to go out of tobacco. And what they're trying to do, or the design problem that they're trying to solve, is how to build a multi-purpose and multi-speed operating model, actually research and development operating model, to be able to bring to market different categories of products at different times, depending on actually the speed of their M&A process, because they're trying to build this new like business unit, mostly through external growth, so by acquiring new companies. And the key challenge that we're trying to solve is, how do we build this R&D operating model that actually provides expertise and consistency in how this organization brings new categories of products and services to market, and yet it does so at the speed that the M&A process demands, actually. So it's quite a complex, I mean, it's easy to explain, but when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, it's kind of very, very complex. So we're just beginning that. It's really, you know, exciting, as with other projects, to go into some of the key concepts that we have, like what's, you know, what's the business configuration of this like new conglomerate that no one has ever done before, and how does a multi-purpose operating model fit into a new business configuration that doesn't exist? You know, that's at least to me, that's something really new. Something which is also really, really very good is actually within our org design project, being able to collaborate with Accenture Strategy, because here we have folks and actually an organization that has deep expertise and understanding of this industry, and it's, you know, the structure, the conduct of the industry, how players interact. And we're learning to collaborate with them, which means we need to like provide them very quickly our approach to operating model design and like the, bring them in. And then we ourselves were trying to accelerate our understanding of the industry and the players of the industry. It's been great. I think we are accelerating our design process because we are probably a bit more relevant in the questions that we ask. And we're starting, so I don't know exactly where we're going, but just, you know, interacting with both strategy folks and then with the client at different level, it's been extremely exciting. And, you know, that's where I am right now on this, Amy, and looking forward to what's next.
Thanks, Luis. And I think, you know, to underscore that point, what's exciting for us is, as Luis says, is to now have colleagues who can bring in things that we just didn't have before. Industry expertise, what's happening? You know, every industry has a different flywheel. It's, you know, consumer packaged goods, it's marketing, you know, industrials, it's supply chain, you know, a business like this in life sciences, it's R&D. Really understanding what's happening deep in an industry, and then organization analytics, strategy, business strategy folks. There's a group that's you know, very deep in zero-based budgeting, bottom-up organization design, agile experts. So it's been a lot of fun to really learn together and to be able to really bring solutions that are much more robust than we could ever do when we were just a little boutique. Brent.
Thanks, Amy. So the client that I want to focus on a little bit today is a client I actually had the pleasure of working with Amy around, and it's a global tech giant. And they came to us about their global sales learning organization, a function that supports the learning for their global sales team, which is the major driver of revenue for their business. And it was unique in the sense, especially in my experience as a consultant, in that they didn't come to us with a true presenting problem. They came to us from a position of strength. They had a new leader in role who, you know, as they started to look at the business strategy of the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, wanted to really take a deep look at the organization and say, are we positioned to support this moving forward? Not because we're doing anything wrong today. And as we did the assessment, you know, and looked at some of their background, you know, we didn't see a lot of glaring problems to solve, not a burning platform to change, But what was interesting about, you know, this piece of work and having the opportunity to puzzle through it with Amy and their sponsors and the leadership team was that this organization, you know, in a position of strength was maybe known for the wrong things within their organization. And there were opportunities for them to really become more of a partner to the business and leverage their capability that they already had from a position of strength to start playing in some areas where, if you think about the concept of function design, was really more of a business partner rather than a service provider to the business. And so we spent a lot of time with them, you know, puzzling through, you know, kind of the function design frameworks and even some ideas around center-led and business partnering to really get clear with them on how do we best support the future vision of the organization, even if that means we aren't known for the same things that we're known for today. So is it okay for us to be known in the future for, you know, still delivering well, but also really being drivers of business strategy and helping to grow, you know, the results of the organization? And so puzzling through that with them, for me and with Amy, you know, where we ended up was to really think about a new organization model that focused on the different horizons for them, you know, protecting the core of the business in horizon one, thinking about, you know, the immediate future horizon two, and then really, you know, what's out there, you know, what's coming down in the future that hasn't even been thought of yet in horizon three, and creating a solution for them that was flexible and, you know, governed so that they could really focus not only in their business partnering and in supporting the business with what they're requesting, but also the, you know, kind of the future focus of the organization and where that strategic direction was coming at a broader sense from the leadership team. So having the opportunity to puzzle through that and think through that while still learning these skills, you know, one, it was interesting and obviously great for my professional growth, but also, you know, helped us, and to Amy's point earlier, you know, drawing back solutions from other parts of Accenture, we were able to bring to them, you know, some ideas around what does the future of learning look like? What does the future of, you know, global technology businesses look like? And use that as a source of inspiration to help them think bigger about what their future could be without a true, you know, burning platform for we must change tomorrow. And so for me, that was, you know, really exciting to puzzle through that with them and to, you know, learn from Amy along the way while still bringing my, you know, background as a, you know, someone who has a deep appreciation for the intricacies of learning from my time in HR.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks, Louise. So I think all of you can see why I'm so excited about this opportunity to now have be surrounded by this growing group of really smart people passionate about the field where we now have the resources to learn together. And it is learning together. I mean, we have depended on and our new colleagues like Brent and Luis, and we have many more on the call with us today to help us navigate Accenture and to find all of those right connections and do work as you can imagine, a completely different way in this system. So let's go to some questions. I see some in the chat. Let me look at those and then let's keep putting them there. I think we're a small enough group. We can maybe put some hands up and get sort of talk to each other. I'll do the easier one first from Drone. As we scale our team, you know, how has my role changed? You know, I love doing the work. And I think Greg and I always sort of purposely kept the firm small because we didn't want to manage. We didn't want to be just, you know, managers. We love doing the consulting work. But with our new mission now, it certainly has changed. And it's been a year of growth for me as a leader, now leading a group of 30, looking to be a leader of people of maybe 50 or 75 people, about what that means more around becoming more of a coach, being able to scale my time and attention, to be more of a teacher, to be a developer of others, and to do, you know, certainly still do a lot of business development, always have my hand deep in a project because I need my own motivation and satisfaction, but to really be thinking of myself as how do I develop other leaders and org designers. And so it's been good. It's been a challenge for me. I probably in the last year, I've had more sort of personal growth than I've had in a long time. And it's actually felt really good. And do clients expect Craig or me to be involved? I think we're shifting that because they really see we have a terrific team. It's, you know, our names might be on the door, but now it's a brand that stands for something, not just the two of us or, you know, the six or seven that, that you all know, many of you know, Roland Burhans and Tom Fulkowski and Michelle DiMartino. Now the brand really represents, you know, Brent coming in and the clients are really comfortable with that. Org design look like in the 21st century? You know, look, I think those five things I laid out have been true for some time. I don't think the fundamental tensions in organizations, global organizations, have changed or are different. What does feel different in the last couple of years, I think the pandemic has exposed or accelerated, obviously, a lot of legacy companies needing to go fast on digital, those that were well down the path. We're definitely winners over the last year. You know, we work in a technology company now. So most of our colleagues are involved in technology, cloud transformations, digital transformations, interactive on the marketing side. We're learning a lot about what that really means and how it changes. And the exciting thing is to really bring some depth to that question of, you know, how do you bring technology transformation and operating model transformation together? And I think it'll take some time, but it's going to be interesting to see how hybrid work and all of the new ways of working for companies that were more sort of co-located in the past, how that changes the need from an org design lens of how do we create horizontal connections? How do we, you know, keep organizational culture strong? How do we keep talent engaged? How do you innovate when everything is so much more virtual, and what are the tools and new ways of work? So it'll be interesting to see. Good. So what else is on your mind?
Hey, Amy, I have a follow-up question to that. The comment you just made, and we can get to Will's question. Because actually, you know, as we're looking for the themes for next year's ODF conference, one of the things that we're looking at is just what you mentioned as far as the pandemic and looking at the macro issues. You also have climate change. You also have the social, kind of like all of these macro elements. How have you seen or how have you thought about that as you think, you know, as you look at the work and you look at operating model work?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a purist. I mean, I always go back to this general model. haven't been able to apply to my family dynamics, but it always seems to work in organization dynamics. And, you know, even last summer, you know, when really, you know, the attention here in the United States was focused on issues of equality and racial tensions. And, you know, we did a blog and we said, you know, when you think about organizations, you think about diversity and inclusion and equality and equity, then, you know, there's the programmatic side, but what really is the organization design lens? And because organization design is so much about power, you know, at the fundamentals of, you know, how do you allocate power? Who makes decisions? Who sits at the table? What voices are heard? To us, it just seems so obvious that you would, that it is a lens. It's not the whole lens, but it is a lens that you would look at these issues through and you would think about as you're designing your organization, what are the power dynamics you're setting up? And we often think about them, you know, between marketing and operations or the geography and the product, but also how are we setting that up about different audiences, voices, and groups within our organization. I just got off a call this morning. We have a proposal into a sort of, it's almost a holding company insurance mutual funds, consumer finance product company that is setting up, you know, an ESG group focused on sustainability and kind of all those pieces that now go in there and thinking, you know, design issue, what do we do? What is the role in a holding company that you might do that kind of work at the center and then support the operating units? Because even though it's not one brand company, a very strong operating unit brands, corporately, this has become so important that they really want to make sure that the operating companies are really have all of the tools to think about, you know, what is our role in climate change or what are our stance, you know, as social issues come up or how do we think about you know, other kinds of issues that are important to stakeholders. So very much rising to the top.
Good. Good. And we have questions here in the chat. Thank you. How do you adjust your vision and mission statements in response to joining Accenture? Did that change?
Yeah. You know, look, when you're 10 people and you're a partnership, you don't really have a mission and a vision statement. I think that's the newest thing is like, and that's what's so fun. We're designing ourselves. And maybe let me turn it back to Brent. So we just launched this idea. So as we hit 60 people, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, by the end of the year with our new cohort and some outside hires, we will be 55, 60 people maybe. You know, how do we, our core business process is around, you know, what projects do we take on and then how do we configure teams to do that work? And, you know, when you're 10, when you're 20, when you're 30, you know, our colleague, Michelle DiMartino is brilliant at it and she keep it all in her mind, you know, who's ready for the next developmental opportunity? What's a good team configuration? How do we get the right pyramid? Now it's exponential. So we're playing with a new idea and we just had our first internal design session. So Brent, were you able to be on last week?
I was.
Yeah. So maybe talk a little bit about what we're doing for ourselves.
Yeah. And to Amy's point, you know, we are designing our own organization a little bit as we go. So over the last, you know, I started my fellowship last October. So it's been almost a year now. And we've been learning along the way. So, you know, looking at the data points, doing a little bit of assessment on ourselves to say what's working, what's not working, you know, where do we have capability, where do we not? Now that we have some data and we have some experience to draw from, you know, not everything was perfect in my experience as part of the fellowship. I'm sure Luis would say the same, but we're learning, again, we're learning as we go. So as we gather some of this data and now start to see, you know, what are we solving for? What are some of the themes? We're applying the design process to ourselves. So, you know, to Amy's point, we met last week for the first time and started to map out what do our capabilities as an organization need to look like? What are the muscles that we need to have? You know, what are the muscles that Accenture needs to have? And where do we fit within the puzzle? And what do we want to be known for? So it's been a learning journey. It's been a, you know, exciting part of the puzzle to, you know, come from a part of Accenture where, you know, it was very clear what our mission statement was and where we fit, to now looking at the Cates Kessler organization and saying, how do we still maintain who we are as an organization and things we are known for, but also what is going to be our role moving forward? And so having those conversations with colleagues, designing for ourselves, with, you know, Michelle, Amy, and Greg facilitating the process, that's been a, you know, it's exciting, but it's also a little bit terrifying at the same time. But we all have faith in the process because of the muscle that we have in being org designers. And even, you know, in being part of Accenture for so long, you know, I think that's the beauty of many of us over that have been here a while is that we understand that it's an evolution that's ongoing. So where we land, you know, where I started in Accenture, there's been probably two or three op models that have happened since. But how do we then continue that forward based on the business strategy? So tying all, bringing this all back and tying it all together as we design for ourselves, you know, it's been a process. It's been exciting. And we've got more design sessions to tackle additional design challenges and capability building and, you know, planning over the next couple months.
Yeah. So it's, you know, hi, Bruce, yeah, at your question, what we're solving for, what's interesting is that, you know, I think about 60 people, you start to lose some intimacy. Even though we're a very single business, we all do kind of the same thing. We need to start to break it down into smaller teams. So we're looking at this idea of pods, sort of think verticals, and they would be maybe geographically based because it's going to be easier, even though we're a global business and we all like to work globally. The reality is that at least sort of at a continent level, to have teams together, to be in the same time zones generally with clients and such, it's just going to be easier. And when we can get together, it'll be easier. But then we want to be careful because we're excited. We know as soon as we make three pods of 15 people, we're going to start to create some divergence. So what we're working on in our design sessions are what are our own lateral connections? How do we create communities of practice around maybe some industry or maybe some particular themes. Some folks like to work on sort of companies that have innovation issues or high growth, and others are really interested in healthcare change, others in technology companies. That's the benefit, of course, of size and scales. We can start to have a little specialization and thinking about our processes. So how are we going to manage talent management, development, reviews, you know, all the kinds of things that obviously we have big Accenture processes, but in our own group, how do we want to make sure that we continue a very tightly connected learning organization while also creating the scale and keeping the scale of teams that can be flexible, manage a portfolio of work, back each other up, build deep relationships, knowing that we're going to have to work virtually for the most part, you know, over the coming year or continually. You know, I mean, we're our folks are scattered all around, and you know, we meet at the client, we're starting to do a little bit of that, going out to see our clients, but you know, it may not be as it was for a long time. Yes, for sure. We're trying to remain agile and in the small A sense of organization agility, making sure that we can really deliver to our clients, you know, do the work and learn. And I think someone said, you know, what's the biggest difficult conversation? One of them is saying no. If our first mission is to build a practice of deep org design expertise, we are very, very clear, then we must only do org design projects. And it's so easy to get pulled into tangential work. There's HR transformation, there's change kind of things generally, or maybe it's just really low in the organization, we're snobby about it, but our what we're brought in to do is really to do C-suite kind of operating model. So we've had to say no to clients who were our clients before have come back to us, to our Accenture colleagues, to really stay focused on a portfolio of work that will give folks like Brent and Luis and our other fellows the right series of experiences, of deep experiences, do a function design, do an enterprise design, work on a business unit design, work on an activation project, help as we are teaching, doing our workshops and teaching internal HR folks. That's the way we know we'll accelerate. So the saying no is the hardest part, of course, because we want to be good colleagues and we love our clients. What else? People thinking about questions?
I see one in the chat here that says, and this might be back to you, Brent, solving for. Can you give an example of a situation and what you were solving for?
I think that was a question, Tanya, that Amy answered.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do see one as far as the other one I'm seeing is there, you know, when you think about the operating model and you know, thinking of the technology as you coach client, you know, how are you coaching clients towards the environmental and social impact using the STAR model, right? That there's outcomes. Or have you gotten to the part, this is really curious for me as far as measuring the outcome of kind of what's happened as a result of the design. Like, how do you consider for that?
Right. You know, it's a very legitimate question, right? It's our existential question. Does org design work? Does it make any difference? Does our intervention do anything different than if, you know, things just sort of evolved? And we've always coached our clients to go back to this idea of the capabilities, you know, and when we do capabilities, so, you know, there's strategy, there's the big goals, you know, then they may be now more 360 goals, you know, around talent, around sustainability, around D&I, around other kinds of goals, as well as, you know, revenue, profits, margins and such, growth, generally market share. But we know those goals are, you know, lagging indicators. By the time we see them, you know, it's too late to change the organization. So, you know, Jay Galbraith, one of his many, many big insights around capabilities and leading indicators and the idea of that's the bridge between strategy and then the rest of the STAR points is to say, in order to get those big goals done, what do we have to be good at together, you know, and really as extended leadership teams. And so when we do these, we generate, you know, these organizational capabilities, these new muscles. We also say, well, what are the leading indicators? What are the things that we would see 3, 6, 9, 12 months, you know, pretty soon? And they could be from the client perspective, just perceptually, you show up and ask different questions. It could be internally, you know what? It's easier to get things done. We're faster. They could be real things that we measure around, you know, we're launching our products faster. None of these are the big outcomes, but they're the leading indicators in the logic chain that say, if we change the organization to build more lateral connections and we can get between R&D and marketing and operations and product development in the middle, we are gonna do product launches faster. And if we can get product launches out faster, we are going to get market share. And that is actually part of our growth goal. That's the thing that we go back and measure. We've had a number of clients where we've had the opportunity to go in, let's say between nine and 36 months after kind of, you know, launching a change, knowing that it takes time for a major change to activate and settle. And we measure against those capabilities, right? Do we see a change? Do we see these muscles being built? And what that does is it gives a lot of indication of, hey, here we've made great progress, let's celebrate and let's make sure we're institutionalizing. And then maybe where there are gaps, that creates then the work agenda for the next wave of activation. And we find that's just the best way of really measuring, are we making impact? Is our hypothesis about what we changed in the organization versus it coming to life? Is it having impact on behaviors and outcomes, which is what we need, that we believe then will lead to actual, you know, our lagging indicators, which are what everyone else is measuring us against.
Great, thank you. Thank you. We're getting a lot of questions in now as far as, I'm gonna actually go to Brent and Luis as far as what, you know, yeah, seasoned consultants, you know, what did you find there was a need to adapt in your consulting skills or approach? And as you join the fellowship or after you join the fellowship.
Let's turn this one to Luis, because Luis actually has an interesting perspective having worked in other organizations, yeah, Accenture and now Kate's Custom.
Yeah, it's really an interesting question. I should say that I still work in market, right?
Luis, we can't hear you. I think your microphone's a little off. Just need to be a little.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I still work in market. So I try to do like 95% of work in org design, but we're getting there. So I still get involved in some like BD in market, which is mostly around transformation, right? And not org design, it's transformation. What I've seen since I joined the fellowship is something like very, very easy. Anytime I am in any BD process, or even if I'm delivering or helping or coaching a team, I have this like org design type of mindset telling me how I should be looking at problems. And I think that's actually great. So what I've been doing, and not consciously, what I've been learning is to look at things a bit differently. I think I was a system thinker, but now my framework is much stronger. So I look at things and I hope I'm able to provide clarity to other folks. And that's the first one. The second one is that I think I have a stronger voice, meaning that my assumption is most of the issues that we have in transformations stem from our design not being finalized, basically. So now when I'm engaging with other MDs or I'm engaging with other consultants, which have very strong perspective, right? Whether they come from technology or from human resources, I really try to bring the org design piece, which is not the bottom up org design we're using to doing, right? It's like, these are the key questions that we're trying to solve. And if we don't have clarity on these questions and we have not engaged the client in actually seeing the questions and at least, you know, understanding that they need to solve for them, it will not work. So that's the change I have seen. Like, my frame of mind is much clearer and I am better able to engage with other parts of Accenture, trying to bring value, like what is the org design point of view for a given transformation?
Great, thank you. How about you, Brent?
For me, I think that the what has probably changed the most in my approach to consulting is really around consistency in how I show up and how I work with my clients every day. I still have the same core skill set and same understanding and same experiences. But what I've learned from Amy and Greg and Michelle is how to apply it in, you know, maybe a more academic fashion, from the standpoint of how do we make sure that we really focus on co-creating the solution based on the needs of the client and helping them own their own design. You know, I think as work I've done with Accenture, you know, long-term, we've always taken a co-creative approach with our clients and worked along the way, but sometimes we got lost in the need to do the work for the client versus the client partnering with us to do the work and deliver it so that it's their solution. And so what I've learned from Amy and Michelle and Greg is really, how do we make sure that they're getting the value of having Kate Kessler lead the process for them, but at the end of the day, making sure that they own it, you know, from end to end. And so it's really helping them to learn how to be org designers themselves, you know, from an academic standpoint. It's a Nisa to your question that I saw just pop into the chat, helping them to not only understand the methodology that we're bringing to them as we're leading through the project, but then also being able to have that capability, that muscle, that memory to be able to continue thinking through these challenges when myself and Amy and Luis, you know, leave them at the end of the engagement. And so bringing that org design teaching foundation in addition to the ability to deliver the work.
Yeah. Thank you, Brent. Yes, that's actually Amy and I talked yesterday about that as far as the biggest difference in coming from a small consulting firm is that you don't have the resources like in Accenture to co-create. You know, you basically are co-creating, you're not doing the work for them. And so that in working with the Accenture clients who are used to so many resources supporting the work that you can, yeah, have a tendency to want to do it for them or they'll continue to look for you to do it versus actually learn, teaching them how to fish, so to say. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's certainly a value, but honestly, it was a necessity that we turned into a virtue. Yeah. You know, when you're 10 or 12 people, you know, we had two people on a project. That was a lot. Now we can have more, but we're never going to have, these projects are never going to have, you know, dozens of people. We do the work in the same way, just as all of you are doing the work. It's a very small team that's advisory, that is educating the client about their own strategy, about the implications of that strategy, giving them tools, language, frameworks, helping them learn, facilitating them through a guided process of discovery, so that they really feel, hey, we built this. We're going to run this together. And I think that has always been what's so exciting about this work is seeing the clients start to speak in a language of organization and never feel that they're being taught or, you know, it's being put to them. They're bringing it to them in a very organic way. So makes me really happy to hear that's come through. We have other people on the line. We'd love to have questions. We also have some other folks from IC from our group. If anyone wanted to add that, add any comments or questions about anything else. I mean, I you know, I'm happy to talk about the book or any other concepts or ideas, but we really do want to, you know, make sure that we didn't just disappear into Accenture, that we stay involved and engaged. We are, you know, looking to bring in some great talent. I think I already got some emails from folks. You know, obviously we're committed to giving opportunities to folks in Accenture is a priority, but, you know, we're growing. And what I love about Accenture is, it's competitive, and it's competitive in the right way. It's, you know, they, Accenture wants to be known as having the best organization design, you know, global firm out there. And, you know, one day it won't be Kates Kessler, it'll just be Accenture Org Design. And that's really, you know, when someone asked about our mission and our goal, that's really what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah. Tell us about the books. I'd actually kind of, maybe Susan, if you don't mind, ask Amy a little bit, is what's been the response to the latest book, Amy? What's the biggest question coming out of this book that you've gotten?
It's interesting. We started this book fall of 2019. You know, I thought I was done doing this, but it was just, you know, it was 5 years and it sort of builds up and there's something more to say. And again, said we haven't really crystallized this idea of can you be big and fast? And it was also, there was so much around, you know, agile. We wanted to really look at this through a lens of how do you create organization agility at scale, which is all about organization design. It's not about, you know, teams and scrums and this and that. It is about thinking about, you know, the enterprise and the operating units, the role of the functions, geographies, product, and how you link it all together. So that's the theme of the book, bringing in, you know, kind of, as we always do, armchair research. What have we learned from our clients? What do we learn from our colleagues? What are sort of the patterns we're seeing, and try to make sense, make it simple. And it's been very, very well received by our clients. So I know we're at the top of the hour and I see Tanya has popped back on. So I want to turn it back to you. Ending on time is definitely one of measure of success nowadays.
All right. Well, thank the three of you very much for making time and energy to prepare and join us here today. Hopefully people got some answers to some questions. And if you have any questions about connecting with Amy and you don't already have her contact information, feel free to reach out. I can connect you with Brent, Luis, or Amy, any of the three of them. And we appreciate everyone else joining us here today. And be on the lookout for more upcoming sessions. We're aiming for one of this type of community conversation a month, in addition to our monthly global conversations on the European ODF's newsletter. So we will be seeing everybody hopefully very regularly.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tanya.
You're welcome.
Thanks to everybody. Brent, Luis, bye-bye.
Thank you.